Hey, it's Sam Alai here, founder of My Legal Academy, where we help lawyers scale and automate their law firms so they could sign up more clients and reclaim their precious time. If you're looking to grow your practice while working less, click the link in the show notes to book a free call to discover a radically different way to grow your law firm. Enjoy the episode.
AI mastery for lawyers. Practical, real-world application of AI tools you can actually use inside your law firm. What you're about to hear is from a training I did inside My Legal Academy, and I'm just going to say it. This one's going to blow your mind. Like, even if you're thinking about how to use AI in your practice, this is where you start. I'm sharing exactly how I use AI every single day, stuff that's already running in my law firms right now. We're talking about automating intake, follow-ups, decision-making, not theory. This is what's working today. Because let's be real, most lawyers are still just sitting on the sidelines watching this AI thing go by. And the ones who aren't, they're already winning. They're freeing up their time, making more money, and building firms that don't depend on them. So if you're overwhelmed, doing too much yourself, or just want a law firm that works for you, this episode is going to shift something. Also, if you're not inside My Legal Academy yet, what are you waiting for? Go to mylegalacademy.com, book a call, and join us. Join over 1,260 law firms, scaling and automating the law firm. We're giving away the playbook, stuff that most people aren't just talking about. All right, let's get into it. AI mastery for lawyers, practical applications of AI tools for everyday law firm management. Let's first talk about the issues. What are the top common AI roadblocks? 100% of us are going to be dealing with 100% of these problems. So let's address them early and know how we can resolve through them. Number one is tool overload, right? Too many tools and too little time. A lot of different tools. Facebook groups, YouTube channels. If you're on X, there's a lot of stuff being shared there. If you're in Lawyer Club, a lot of stuff being shared there, right? Okay, what I found is you don't need every tool. You have to 80-20 it. You'll probably only need less than 20% of the tools. What tools? Well, the tools that help solve daily reoccurring tasks. If it's a one-off, you're barely gonna use it. So yeah, there could be a cool AI music generation tool that could make you a song. From now on, make a rule that I will not do one-off AI tools. I'm only gonna play around and apply AI tools that help solve daily reoccurring tasks. Tools that help you on an everyday basis. And I've been through the same thing with all the regular tools, just trying to install and sign up for all the tools. But over time, I found out that I only use the set of 8 tools on a daily basis. For the most part, I used to do is I use Google Calendar. I use a transcription AI tool and then some certain Slack, Zoom, Calendly. These kinds of things, that's where the 80-20 of tools are. So from now on, let's only have a mindset. I'm only going to use AI tools that help me on a daily basis. John says, I pay so much for Alex's AI, I want to stop. Okay, we'll talk about that, John. What if you already are paying for some AI tools? And today I'll be sharing with you a tool that's probably going to replace a lot of the other tools too. So that'll be helpful. But the second issue is prompt overkill, right? Endless different sources, ChatGPT prompt here. Look at this amazing prompt. These prompts, what I found is over time, you want to consolidate your prompts. And you probably use less and less prompts over time. I'm going to go into how to solve this issue throughout the presentation, so I'll save it for that. But too many prompts. Number three is constant updates, things changing all the time. It feels like it's hard to keep up with the trends. For that, I usually recommend just having one or two sources that you go for your AI learning, so you're not flooded with different opinions, different sources, just sticking to your top sources. And very importantly, and this will be addressed throughout this presentation, is scheduling weekly experimentation. Having a blocked time in your calendar once a week, minimum once a week, that it's your dedicated AI time. So that when you find a tool randomly on a Tuesday, you're not going to be touching it. On Wednesday, you're not going to be touching it. What I do is I schedule my discovery of AI tools and random stuff like that for Fridays. So I just put it into my to-do list, schedule for Friday. And then now when I get to Friday, that's when I explore all the AI tools. So that means I usually, for the most part, do not explore these AI tools on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I leave it till just one day dedicated to that. And number four is privacy and compliance issues, concerns over data confidentiality. What we want to do is to evaluate their privacy policy, make sure it aligns with our legal standards. At the end, I'll try to give some practical ways that I do to make sure that I'm compliant. But these are, for the most part, the four main issues. And today, as I'm presenting the presentation, a lot of these ideas is going to get distilled down for you in very practical ways. So I just wanted to address it. Again,
overload of information, prompting, constant updates, and privacy call and compliance. We'll be addressing all of these. But let me give you a very quick minimum viable AI strategy, straight to the point, to think about how to apply AI in your practice. Number one is we want to identify a recurring need. Again, we talked about, we don't want to find something that's just like it solves an itch one time. Like, again, we don't want a random music generation AI tool that makes a cool song for us. We have to ask ourselves, does this solve a recurring need for us? If so, amazing. Looks like that's something that I'm going to use this tool for on an ongoing basis. Number two, once I find that need, I want to select one tool. I'm not going to go play around with different tools. If I find a large language model, I'm not going to go and use ChatGPT and this one and that one for the most part. I'm just going to use the one best tool that I find. And number three, you want to master it. Master the tool before adding more. And again, today, we're going to be sticking to these three themes. The three tools that I'll share with you, they scratch each of these itches. They're for reoccurring needs. They're only one tool that I'm giving you. I'm going to show you how to master it. Okay, so what are we going to be talking about today? Let me tease you. Number one is AI for emails. What if AI could handle your email inbox and write email replies for you? This tool that I'm about to share today has never been shared. I rarely see any content being made about it. I've been experimenting with it for the last 3 weeks. It works exceptionally amazing. Yes, good. So a lot of email. Yes, good, good. If you guys know me, you guys know that I hate emails. I'm pretty much, I escaped email jail about 5 years ago. Only very rarely do I answer emails, but just even these emails that are left, this is what I'm currently using to write those email responses. Garrett will address that. Unfortunately, it is not for Outlook. It's for Gmail. And I addressed this 5 years ago when I started teaching Law Firm Mastery. I said, most of the developments is going to go into Google. Unfortunately, Outlook doesn't catch up, but we'll address that. Number two is custom AI agents. What if you had a personal AI for every aspect of your law firm or personal life? This was touched upon at our conference a year and a half ago. It's still more true today. I'll give you guys some updates for those who were at the conference a year and a half ago. I'll give you updates of where that's panned out, all those things that we talked about. And I remember when I spoke at the conference, I said, what I'm about to share with you today is something you'll be using for many years to come, but it still holds true. And for those who weren't at the conference, great. Today will be the first introduction to that. And number three, training AI on your documents. What if you could train AI to understand your legal documents and reference them instantly? All of us have this need beyond what you think, what you know with ChatGPT. There's even a better tool that does even better and takes it to a whole different level. All three would be amazing. This is the 80-20, okay? AI answering our emails, having an AI, a bunch of AI agents that know everything about us, and having an AI that drafts our documents. Amazing, right? Sounds amazing, okay? So let's get to it. Number one, meet your AI email executive assistant, Serif. Let me first talk about it, show it, and I'll give you the link and get you to install it on the spot. But let me just explain to you what it is and what it does. Number one is it drafts your email replies. It writes your email replies for you automatically, just like a human assistant. So no, you don't have to go copy and paste things into ChatGPT. I used to do that. If I had an email thread, complicated situation, complicated relationship, and I didn't want to answer the things myself, I would go copy and paste the whole thing into ChatGPT. Then ChatGPT would do a good job to understand the context, right? I'm sure I wasn't the only one that would do this. Well, this takes care of that for you all in one shot. And cool part is, it's only one-click Gmail integration. It basically integrates into your Gmail. And I'm sorry for my Outlook users. Again, I addressed this 5 years ago, and it's still becoming true. This is only for Gmail. And it's a one-click setup, okay? You integrate it. It takes about 10 minutes to go through your emails, and it's going to learn how you write. It's going to know the different situations that you deal with. It's going to know the different types of people that you respond back to. It's going to know how to respond back to different types of people based on different topics, based on different types of contexts. And it basically has a wholesome AI training approach. What else? Obviously, it's personalized. It learns your writing style and voice. And the best part is improves over time. Okay, what else? It saves you time, obviously. So you can focus on high value work, right? This is the whole point of our program, right? Continuously improving our hourly rate and skipping email jail. Again, I hate email jail. I was in it for a good 3-4 years. I escaped it. I'm much happier now. And also it's better for your clients. Faster email turnaround without sacrificing professionalism. How does it work? Very simple. You connect your inbox, aka you integrate your Google, which I'll share with you the link to do that shortly. Serif is going to learn your voice, and within an hour, you're going to see pre-populated email drafts for your emails. Not every email, it understands which emails to write responses back for. So if it's a marketing email or something like that, obviously doesn't invoke a response from you. It doesn't touch it. It just knows which emails to write drafts for. But it will go and write your email drafts for you. So then when you get to your email inbox, your email drafts are sitting there with a reply in your tone and voice. And you can even make it less professional, more professional, however way you like. And it's ready for you. And it does about 80% of the job for you. Obviously, if you want to make tweaks, you do that. You're supposed to. And it's not just the review, send the email reply, but it does a lot of the legwork. And when you open your inbox, every email that needs a response will have a pre-written reply ready to go. Just review, adjust if needed, and hit send. All right. So here is the link, and I'm going to go through it. So in the chat, I just put the link to Sarah's. This is a referral link, but I swear I could care less about the referral. It's not even, yeah. But I'm like, if I'm going to share it, might as well just use this link. But if you also want to go to Sarah's.ai, you could do that too. But I'm like, if you're going to be registering for it, might as well go for it. It does give you some extra bonus if you do use the link, but go ahead right now and click on that link. And most likely you'll get to a page that looks like, again, this is only for Gmail Google users. All you have to do is click on sign up with Google and log in with your email, with your Gmail or Google email, and go ahead and do that right now. So as you're doing that, and please, if you have Gmail, please do it now. This is, we like making things very practical and applicable. Anything we can do right now, we like to do it. So as you're doing that, I'm going to show you how it works and how easy it is. And please let me know as you questions come up. Please let me know. I do see the chance. If I can address it, I'll address it right then and then. If not, I'll also stick around to answer your questions. By the way, we have a really good turnout today, which is amazing. All right. So when you integrate your email inbox, I believe they give you a 7-day free trial. So it's good. It's amazing. You can test it out, see what works. Then if so, you can sign up. And I believe if you put a credit card in within those 7 days, it gives you another 7 days. So for a total of 14-day trial, I went ahead after within 3 days. I'm like, this is amazing. I don't care how much it is. Let me sign up for it. I believe it's like $20 a month. But whatever it is, this is one of those tools where it doesn't matter what the cost is. I'm signing up for it because it's going to help me save time. And time is money. And my time is valuable. So I'm willing to spend any money to save me time. And you should have the same mindset. So what I did was I integrated my main email inbox and my secondary email inbox. So it's being trained on both. And let's go through one of them. And this is the dashboard. I just want to show you the way around. It doesn't matter which plan you pick. No, just pick. Well, right now you're just signing up for the free plan. So use this free plan for 7 days. And then once you decide to upgrade, then just there's only one main paid plan. They have like a bigger plan, but you don't need the second bigger plan. You just need the main paid plan. So take a look. There are 322 emails that were processed over the last couple of weeks. It drafted 175 drafts. And for the most part, not only do I use my email inbox, but I have my virtual assistants using my email. This is addressed in Law Firm Mastery. If you go through the program, you know how to automate your law firm. You could have your VAs take over your email inbox. You could systematize your emails. You could sign up clients via emails. And if so, you know how that sounds. So most of these, out of these 52, I would say 45 of these my VAs were using. And I'm actually having them tell me how amazing it is too. So it shows you that stat of like how many emails are being AI drafted. But what it does is really cool is once it analyzes your entire email inbox, it puts categories of all the different things that you're writing emails for. So not only, let me just show you. So it basically summarizes my entire email inbox. Okay. So it has context and categorizes it, puts it in folders. Each one has its own items, its own source of information. So not only does it pre-populate this information, which becomes a knowledge base, which AI uses to be able to answer your emails, but also gives you the capability to go in, review it, make sure it's correct, and add more to it. So let's just say you have a new set of emails or a new set of clients that you're dealing with. Well, you can go create, add to this knowledge base. So this is what I'm doing. These are the details of it. And when somebody's emailing me about this, these are the ways you should respond back. But what's cool about it is, this was made by AI. I didn't create any of these folders. And it's pretty cool and it's pretty spot on in the types of emails that I get inside this email inbox. This my main email inbox. A lot of it is from my first law firm for business formations. My VAs are answering my emails on my behalf regarding to that service. So a lot of these are about that. But once AI gets trained on yours, it's cool to see the different types of categories of things you're dealing with. Again, it turns into like a SOP that you could train AI on. You have to add folders, add documents, upload documents, etc. to train your AI, who's basically writing your emails for you. But there's more. It also has super amazingly detailed settings that are kind of cool to review. One of the things that it does is automatically creates smart labels. So it tells you exactly which emails need a response, which emails are more informational, which emails are waiting for reply. And it's a way to quickly evaluate basically what emails need to be addressed. By default, this is on. If you feel like the labels are too much and too overwhelming, you could turn off it very easily. Just click this off and be able to quickly take it off. And also you'll be able to create custom label instructions. So you could say, let's just say you're getting emails from this law firm who's your opposing counsel. So you could literally write here in natural language, it says emails from thislawfirm.com. You should label it as so. And then you could go back to the knowledge base and say, hey, any emails, you could say these types of emails respond back in this way. So this is a way to start categorizing and creating SOPs out of the type of emails that you get. Right now, I don't have anything because right now I don't have any immediate need for any particular labels that I see. For the most part, the general labels are taking care of it. But it's cool to see that, hey, I'm able to process new types of emails by just giving instructions to AI about what to do with those. Also, you can automatically auto-archive certain types of emails. Whatever that means to you, and then let's just say you get a lot of promotions, you can automatically auto-archive those, which is pretty cool. So it basically auto-archives certain types of emails based on whatever data they are. What else can it do? Well, the main thing that it does is it's able to draft ready-to-send drafts. This is where, obviously, you want this to be turned on. You're able to choose which tone of voice you want, normal, more polite, more casual. I usually stick to usually with the default options, but if you see that over time the emails are maybe too polite, then maybe you want to go more casual. If it's too more casual, then maybe test out the other one. Also, if it doesn't know how to respond, you could turn on multiple responses. Sometimes the email's responses could be confusing. So maybe if you see that the response is not spot on, then you could turn this on. What I've done is I like having options. So I turned that on. This next setting is a good setting to have on. Enable placeholders. If your assistant is unsure about some parts of the emails, we'll believe placeholders. Amazing. Great. I want that all day long. There's your email signature. It has your font. It has smart follow-ups. It could automatically, this actually I use all the time. It automatically drafts follow-up replies for emails labeled. So let's just say you sent an email last Friday to a client and say, hey, I need your documents from you. And then you forgot about that client. Well, depending on whatever your setting is, 3 days later, it will automatically draft those email replies for you. And it will basically send you kind of like a notification, I believe. Yeah, I remember getting an email from Sarah saying, hey, these emails that you sent out last week need follow-up because you asked something. And again, it could read your email, so it knows when your emails need a reply. And if that person doesn't reply, then Serifs gives you a little reminder here. You need to send a reminder to this client and here's the email. The email is already drafted and that's where the notification is set. So mine is set right now is to send those emails at 9 a.m. Also, it could send you smart reminders, simple reminders to help you stay on top of important emails. It could understand what emails are important. So if you may have missed emails, amazing. We'll give you a summary of those emails that you may have forgot. You could also send smart digest emails. Keep updated with everything your assistant is doing. It'll give you a summary of those. So right now, I just set it up Monday mornings at 9 a.m. A summary of those things, but you could turn it on every day. Smart out-of-office autoresponders. And then this thing is very important. Continuous learning allows your AI assistant to learn from your email interactions and improve over time. I definitely want to have this on for sure. And yeah, amazing settings. This is one of those settings that you just go through once, make sure it's good. For the most part, what I have on is what you want to have on. I would say, obviously, you want to have this one on. You want to make sure to have the smart follow-ups and the smart reminders on. I don't think we need smart digest, but if you feel like you would need those, you can turn those on. And this continuous learning part is also very key. And again, it works like magic and it takes some time to get used to this. Again, it's one of those things where like, what's going on? Turn it on, integrate it, and you will be blown away. It's amazing. I don't know how else to put it. And actually, when I discovered this, I started like looking around for review videos or tutorial videos, and there's nothing. There's barely anything. There's only one person who shared this on YouTube. And I was like, oh, wow, people, the market hasn't caught on to this. And again, if you have security privacy issues, I'll share the link. Read about it. That's all explained. According to them, they're keeping everything encrypted and safe, but take a look at their privacy policy if you have concerns about that. But yeah, I found this to be amazing. It's helped me save a lot of time, especially those long emails that I don't want to complicate situations or things. I just get into my email and it's already there. Amazing. Saving me a lot of time. All right. So who has right now went through the steps to integrate this into the Gmail? Let me know if you have done so. And again, if you're doing anything else and you're on Gmail, please take a moment right now, go to the chat, click on that, integrate it, and you will have a more pleasant week. Good, Raj. Who else? I want to hear from you. Again, I don't want this to be a one-way presentation style. This is, I'm here. I'm a real person. I want to see you guys in this. Kevin asked a good question. A very good question. Kevin asked, are you still using MixMax or has this replaced it? Seemed like it could. Exactly, Kevin. Yes. I imagine this replacing MixMax. For those who have been through our program, MixMax was the main tool that I brought up. It was a tool that I used to be able to automate my email responses with templates and sequences. This is MixMax on crack. So yes. Oh, good call, Kevin. Actually, you remind me. So what I did was I had my virtual assistant create a document. Actually, I think I have it. MixMax. Yeah, here we go. I had my VAs go to all my MixMax templates and sequences, and I got them to copy and paste all the templates and sequences. So I have all the templates, all my templates, all my sequences drafted in this one Google Doc. What I did was I went on file, I downloaded it as a PDF, and I uploaded it to Serif. Bam. Now it's better. It has the knowledge base of MixMax. And yeah. How did you find out about this, Randy? It's from watching a lot of YouTube videos, and now I'm very active on X. So I feel bad for my wife. I have my headphones in and learning things on a continuous basis. So I explore a lot, and I'm also very good at filtering in down. I realize quickly which ones I'm actually going to use and which ones I'm not. So the ones that I use, I go all in, try to use it as much as possible. And then quickly, the ones that I know are a waste of time, I eliminate. Or sometimes I pass it off to my team and I ask for, hey, use this and report back to me if you think this would be useful. So a lot of times I kind of send it out and I see how the feedback is. Do you have a solution for Outlook? I do not. I'd imagine, I don't know when, I have a feeling, right? Outlook has such a big user base. Over time, there will be tools that will be made for Outlook, but it always takes these tools longer for the secondary user bases than the main ones like Google, Gmail, all that stuff. So that's why I saw this coming 5 years ago, that a lot of these development stuff is going to come out for Google first. So it pays definitely to be on the Google world. Kevin asks, can Serif read and analyze attachments and PDFs to emails? And is the draft responses? Good question. I do not know whether Serif analyzes PDF attachments. Good question. I do not know. I would suspect so. And if it doesn't, it probably will over time. Mel says, can you forward the Outlook email to a Gmail account and then use Serif? Yes, you can, Mel. That's actually very smart. Yes, you can use Gmail to answer Outlook emails. Ah, genius, Mel. Yes, you can do that. So yes, you'll be able to integrate your Outlook with Gmail and then use this tool with Gmail to answer emails. Smart. Cool. We got plenty more. So let's move it forward. Again, just install it and play around with it for the next couple of weeks. I'm 3 weeks into this and I'm still feels like there's a lot more for me to do and learn from this, but you start your journey today on that. But let's go to number two, which is creating. Yes. And yes, you can use multiple Gmail accounts in Serif. Yes. Once you sign up for the paid account, it gives you, I think, up to 5 accounts to use it for, which is pretty generous. Let's go to number two, creating custom AI agents with ChatGPT. Okay. Yes, I know ChatGPT is the most common and popular tool, but I still feel like people are not using ChatGPT enough, or they're not using it correctly. I'm about to share with you the way that I take full advantage of ChatGPT. This was brought up again a year and a half ago at our conference, so this might be a little bit of a review for you if you were there. If not, I'll give you, for those who haven't seen this, it'll be good. If you want to start the journey of doing the things I'm about to share with you today. But before I do that, let me end the poll and show you guys the result of our poll. Again, the data is for all of us, so let's take a look and you'll be able to compare yourself to your peers. So how often do you currently use ChatGPT? So looks like for at least 19 of us, multiple times a day is where we want to be. Okay, that's amazing. So 37% of us are where we need to be. For those that are using it daily, that's still very good. So again, for my peers that are weekly, monthly, or rarely, never, today should be a turning point for you. You need to be using ChatGPT on a daily basis and ideally throughout the day. I live on ChatGPT. There's nothing that I'm working on that I don't use ChatGPT for. Pretty much for most things that I work on, somehow it's my second brain for everything that I'm doing. Which ChatGPT plan are you currently subscribed to? Looks like about a quarter of us are still on the free plan. Actually, the free plan is pretty courteous. They're pretty generous with what they offer on the free plan. It's okay, but I highly recommend that you get on the plus plan. It's the most valuable $20 a month you will spend. You get better access to better models, faster models, early access to their features, which is always a competitive advantage. I have not subscribed to pro plan yet. I'm waiting. We could talk about AI agents in a little bit. I don't think it's ready yet. So I don't think it's worthwhile yet to subscribe to the pro plan. At least that's my feeling right now. Things might change, but I highly encourage all of us. I want to see 100% of us be on the plus plan. But let's talk about how to use ChatGPT effectively. So first of all, what are custom AI agents? They're role-specific agents. They're kind of a specialized agents for distinct tasks that provide consistent brand voice. So you train these AI agents, and I'll show you how to do that. And it sounds a little bit more vague than when I show it to you, but let me just address the benefits so you know what's the reason why we're doing this. We want to train our agents to reflect our firm's style and values, ensuring that every output remains on brand, right? We want to stay consistent. We also want to use these custom AI agents to offload repetitive tasks to AI. We also want to create a centralized knowledge base. Data is very important during the AI age, which is the age that we're in right now. So you want to gather as much data as possible. Just like how Seraph has a knowledge base, you want to do the same thing inside of ChatGPT. Trust me, it's very beneficial, and I'll show you why and how that's done. So you can feed these AI agents your firm's processes and templates for quick references and for quick uses. And it allows for scalable efficiency. So you can easily replicate agents across new practice areas as you grow. I do this all the time. Once I create one agent, I go replicate that agent for another law firm using the same frameworks and things that I've done. And also I could even replicate that agent over when that agent becomes tired. I'm gonna explain what that means shortly as well. So let me, instead of showing you a screenshot, let me just show it to you at a very practical level. All right, so in my bookmarks, I have a folder called AI. As you can see, a lot of folders. And this is the reason why I'm here. I'm here to filter through all these different tools to say, hey, you don't need all these tools. You just need this one particular tool, okay? So you can see, I'm not just, you know, saying these things. I have to go through a lot of these different tools, test them out. But the ones that I care about and what I want to focus on is right here, agents. What I shared at our conference a year and a half ago was I realized that people are using ChatGPT in the wrong way. The way that most people use ChatGPT is they date their GPT. That means whenever they need something, they go start a conversation, they ask a very naked question, and then they leave. And then whenever you need it, come back, you ask, you start a new conversation, you ask it questions, and you leave. Instead, what you have to do is spend time to date your GPT. And by dating, I mean nurturing, building a knowledge base, feeding it, giving it information before you pull information out. So what I did was I treated each ChatGPT conversation as a specialized agent. So I have specialized agents for every different aspects of my law firms, my business, and my life. So I have an agent that's for social media, my social media posts. It's an AI agent that's trained in how I like my social media posts to be. My tone, my topics, how I write, sometimes how other people write, whatever that is, I'm feeding it information. Hey, I love these types of posts. I love the way that these people wrote these posts. So that becomes my social media expert. Also have one that knows my legal academy really well. I also create another ChatGPT conversation that knows Lemon Law, every aspect of my law firm about Lemon Law really well. Have one that knows me really well, which I will share with you in shortly. And have one that's helping me draft my book. I have one for another one of my law firms. I have one, another one for my podcast. I have one for another niche, one of my other law firms. I have one for productivity. I have one for another law firm. I have one for coming up with video ad scripts. So each ChatGPT conversation, and I know, again, probably a good percentage of us already have this, but I realized that 90% of my AI ChatGPT use is coming from these AI agents. And what I used to do is I used to come here, try to find it, and try to use that particular agent. But what I did was, a couple of months ago is I created a bookmark out of these. And now it's very quick access right here. Bam, I'm dealing with something with Lemon Law. I'm about to create some kind of ad script or whatever for Lemon Law, or I have some data about Lemon Law that I just got. I want to throw that in and I have easy access to it. So different law firms, different businesses, different situations, personal stuff, finding a home, credit card stuff. Let's just say I'm trying to find the right credit cards for different expenses. I give a list of all the different types of credit cards that I have. And I say for this expense, what will be the best card out of all of my cards? Crypto calculations, video ad script framework, video summarizes, stuff for presentation, whatever that is, I'm creating those agents. So how do we create these? Well, let's just say, I would say the most important one is creating an AI agent that knows your law firm. And this is the one that we actually worked on in a workshop instead of MLA Live 2024, which is now already a year and 5 months ago. It's crazy, time flies. We had a whole 2-hour workshop. I gave you a prompt. Basically, it was like a set of like 30 questions, all about asking questions about your law firm. And actually, I could share the resource from, if anybody wants it, here, I'll put the link in the chat, MLA Live 2023 resources. Here you go. You want, if you, again, there's a lot more to it. Each of these things that are on this document requires a lot of explanation, a lot of things. But if you go to page 8, ChatGPT prompt to create your AI law firm agent. This is a prompt So what you want to do, by the way, to take advantage of this is make a copy for yourself. And what you want to do, this first part is just something to copy and paste. But this main part is this. Here's some context about my law firm to help you become my AI law firm agent. And he has these set of questions right here. You know, what type of law does your law firm specialize in? Where do you serve clients? Who's your ideal client? What CRM do you use? What's unique about your law firm? Who's on your team, etc. It's giving context about your law firm. What you want to do after you make a copy of this document is answer these questions. Literally right here, press enter, answer the questions, and answer as best as you can. Once you do that, you're going to copy and paste this whole thing into ChatGPT. And now one ChatGPT conversation is going to know a lot about your law firm. And those nuances that you give it about the types of clients that you serve, what issues do they have? What's the result you give them? What testimonials do you have? If you can give it the testimonials, how many, if you have case studies, throw those in there. What do you say in your videos when you're talking to clients? Whatever nuances you give in there, now whenever you ask it to do something, let's just say, hey, help me write a 30-second UGC video ad. It's going to incorporate all those contexts that it already knows about your law firm. And when you feed it your own custom information, it's going to do a much, much better job of a better output than if you were to just go into ChatGPT and say, I am running a personal injury law firm, write me a video ad that's going to help you generate more leads. That's going to give you the most generic waste of time output versus it now knows the different contexts about your law firm. So what you want to do, again, it's not something to do right now, but think about over time that I want to build an AI agent for my law firm. The second one that I recommend is an AI agent that knows everything about you. And this will be addressed in point number 3. This is really valuable. I cannot stress how valuable this is, because ultimately you're the biggest factor in this thing called life and business and everything you're currently doing. So what if there's an AI agent that knows every nuance and detail about you? It's going to help you figure out your weaknesses. It's going to help you maximize your productivity. It's going to help you find your blind spots. So many different things that come out of having an AI that knows you and you're able to ask it questions. And it's really freakishly good. And what I do is once I come with these questions, these amazing questions, and I could give you some too, I print them out and I put them up on my board, and they turn into affirmations or different things that I work on and try to improve on. And those insights are usually coming from ChatGPT, and it's really valuable. And the third one is any other specific use that you need over time. And again, as I share with you mine, the mines are usually my social media and my different law firms. If I have different projects that I'm working on, I just say I have a podcast, I have my one for my synagogue that I tap into, my book, my productivity, whatever that is. These are like different needs, and I have way more of these, but these are just the ones that I use on a frequent basis. I create those over time. I'm adding more to it, more information that I get to it, I feed it. And then when I have that particular need, I go back to that agent. Really valuable. Again, not being utilized enough. Each of these is like my little consultants. Each of these is worth $500 a month for me, because I utilize them a lot when it comes to marketing, when it comes to a lot of data. Every time I get any data, I just throw it in. Give me some analysis about my data that I probably don't know about that will help me achieve this goal. Tell me how I can improve this. How can I turn this ad using this framework, which is basically this particular ad or something that I see, apply this framework to everything you know about employment law, whatever that is. A lot of different ways to be able to play around with it. So call to action. If you already have these agents built out, great. Turn into bookmarks. If you don't, start building out these different agents. Is each topic a different agent? So it should be a very overarching, you know, topic. So definitely should have one for your law firm. So that's one topic. Sometimes I've used these agents so much that it got overwhelmed. It had so much data and became really slow to respond back. And that's why I have these twos, because it's the second version. What I did was I said, hey, this conversation has too much data and I want to train a new ChatGPT agent based on everything you already know about this particular topic. So given the top 100 most detailed description about everything about this law firm or whatever that is. And now it gives me an output. And then I take that output and I go train a new, clean, fresh AI agent who knows those top 100 takeaways with details that I could use to train a new agent. So you'll have to kind of replicate the different versions. John, for the most part, to answer your question, I would say just start off with your law firm agent and an agent that knows you. That'd be probably a good place to start. If you can just utilize those two, good. If you see that you might need a third branch, then do that. Laurent, your question will be addressed right now in the third point, all the legal stuff. So this is when you're referring to when you mentioned the agent becomes sleepy. Yes, becomes like really slow. And that was like after a year of me feeding it data, because I've been feeding it data for 2 years. So yeah, once it becomes really heavy, I guess then you train it with a new agent. Okay. So the number two is like the one way that I use by far the most, by far. But it gets even better.
All right, so that was part one, and that was just the setup, the foundation. In part two, we go way deeper. I'm breaking down how I built AI agents, literal agents that are now doing the work for me. Like they're answering leads, they're updating clients, they're creating content. These things are running in the background while I'm doing other things. And I'm showing you exactly how I built them, what tools I'm using, more prompts I'm giving, and how I train them. So if you like this episode, don't miss part two. This is where it all starts to click. Let's go.
Thanks for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. If you found value in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. And don't forget to share the episode with a friend. It could help transform their life. To get access to a treasure trove of exclusive free resources for lawyers, go to joinlawyerclub.com. Again, that's joinlawyerclub.com. We'll see you on the next episode.